Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Howdy, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek back in the studio in Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 31st, 2012, episode 327, sponsored by Audible.com. Good morning, Horse World.
Good Tuesday morning to you, and I do mean a good Tuesday morning.
Well, if you insist on being accurate about it.
You know, only somebody with perfect comedic timing could produce this much energy in one shot.
Your time in the saddle ain't as rough as the life in between, and the fence isn't there for you to straddle, and you can't change horses in the middle of your dream.
Well, welcome back to the Bluegrass, Glenn and Jennifer. I know you had a long weekend in Philadelphia, but we missed so much news. There's so much going on this past weekend, and I just was busting at the seams to be able to talk to you about it yesterday. And now we have so many guests today that we don't even have time to cover all the news that I wanted to talk about yesterday.
Yeah, you were kind of busting. You kept sending us little notes yesterday. And I know those days when you have to produce. It just kills you. It kills you that you can't talk.
Well, there was just too many things that went on. Unfortunately, we're going to talk about at least one of those today because somebody's calling in at 9:30 that I'm really excited about.
Yes, I know, and I'm excited about it too. You know, we've gotten lucky sort of picking our adopted people, haven't we? We've gotten kind of lucky over the last year, or we just know what the hell we're doing. I'm not sure which it is.
we hitch our wagon to success, okay? That's what we do. So Jennifer, why don't you tell us who is going to be on at 9:30 this morning?
On today's Audible.com Tuesday edition, it's the United Kingdom Open Up today with a guest lineup with Samantha Hobden, author of the ESMA Newbie Award winning blog site Haynet, and she's here to tell us about that upstart little outfit on the interweb. And one of our favorite adoptees, the Reeves, Dean and Patty, owners of Mucho Macho Man, are going to be stopping by this morning with some really exciting
Woo-hoo!
News. Woohoo!
Yay!
And, being Tuesday and all, Victoria Spicer, the diva with the divine dialect, is here with a menu of mundane workday alleviations. I'm just cracking up with you guys. Stay tuned for the Tuesday ride, folks. It's going to be crazy.
Thank you, Jennifer. She's got the sillies this morning. I think she was, I brought that redneck wine glass home, and maybe she filled it with some Kentucky moonshine. I'm not sure.
It's the okay. Beef's fault, actually.
I got to admit, Glenn, so those redneck wine glasses that are they're stemware, and the beautiful top is a mason jar. And I remember when we were kids, my dad would take us the one night a week to a restaurant to give my mom some, like, time off. He would take us to the restaurant called Po-Folks. Do you remember Po-Folks? Have you ever been to a Po-Folks? Or is that way
southern?
That must have
been a southern thing.
Yeah, it's very southern. And they always served your drinks in mason jars. I mean, no matter what, I was like 6 years old, and they'd hand me a big mason jar full of orange soda, you know, whatever. Like, there was no, like, kiddie cups. I mean, it was mason jars. So I said to my brother, I said, here is the link to what we need to get Dad for Christmas because it will really piss off his girlfriend. Because my dad is now not married to my mom anymore and has a girlfriend. And so I thought this would really make her mad. They live together. I mean, like, my dad bringing up this redneck stemware, and she's, like, all classy and trying to class him up, you know? I thought this would be perfect. My brother was like, oh, my God, I want those. I was like, yeah, $20. He's like, those are the coolest thing. I'm totally buying those for myself. I guess I underestimated you.
It's a guy thing. Guys would walk by those, and you'd look at them. It's just, I don't know. They were the coolest thing. I'm buying a set of those for sure. I got to have them.
What was the website for that? Because I can't remember. I'm looking for
it. What was it, Jennifer?
SouthernSwigs.com.
SouthernSwigs.com. SouthernSwigs, that's correct. And we technically aren't supposed to call them redneck wine glasses because there apparently is a redneck wine glass.
Oh, really?
So we're not supposed to call them redneck wine glasses, but I did. What the hell? It's a redneck wine glass to me. And I just thought it was so cool. But boy, you fill that thing through full of Georgia or Kentucky moonshine, you wouldn't get up for a month.
Okay. Redneck wine glasses look exactly the same. So we
do they?
Southern Swigs. Yeah, they do. SouthernSwigs.com. How much were they? Did they tell you how much they cost?
I don't know. Jennifer, did you notice the price? I didn't notice the price.
I didn't even look. I just went, oh, they're so cool.
And they have pitchers. They have pitchers made out of mason jars, and they have little tiny shot glasses that are like the redneck wine glass, but they're little tiny mason jars that are shot glasses. There were supposed to be salt and pepper shakers, apparently, and people didn't like them as salt and pepper shakers and started using them as shot glasses.
That's what I would have thought.
Very cool. I'm telling you, it was the coolest thing at the show. I don't know why I fell for those, but I did. And everybody else did, too. Well, let's do our daily winnie. And my daily winnie needs a little bit of this. Happy birthday to Frankie Lovato, our adopted jockey. Here on Horses in the Morning. It's his birthday yesterday, but we didn't do daily winnies yesterday. So I'm coming in a day late. Happy birthday, Frankie. We hope you had a great day. I saw lots of people posting pictures of when he was younger on his Facebook page, and I'm sure he really appreciated that. So happy birthday, Frankie. Here's yours.
One of the news items that happened over the weekend was that Rachel Alexandra and her colt, By Curlin, were admitted into Rood & Riddle Equine Hospital in Lexington because of some pain management issues related to the birth of the colt. And of course, very scary. You hear Rachel Alexandra has been sent to Rood & Riddle from colic. You just don't know. I mean, obviously, horses, a lot of times when they're passing the placenta or something, they get a little crampy. So I guess they just took some extra precautions and sent her directly to Rood & Riddle. When you have a horse of the year and a baby that's by another horse of the year, I guess you can probably afford to just send them to the clinic. To us, we'd be like, gosh, can we just treat it with some Banamine? Because that's going to be like $100,000. They don't care. They just send her right over. And they said that the quote from one of her owners is, Rachel has proven to be an extraordinary mother and is taking to her feisty colt right away. I'm a Rachel chondriac. We are taking every precaution to ensure that Rachel and her colt are healthy and happy. I love that. I'm a Rachel chondriac.
Chondriac.
I'm a Zenyatta chondriac. I'm a Rachel chondriac, all that. Yeah, definitely. But the good news is, and the update that we have, is that she is going to be released from the hospital potentially today. So
good.
Today could be the day that she goes home and gets to go and hang out in the pasture with her friends and the other babies.
That's terrific. Yay.
Do you want to talk about wanting to bubble wrap a horse? I
know.
Could the baby of Rachel Alexander and Curlin, could you just bubble wrap those, put like the boy in the bubble? Just put him in a big bubble.
Well, they had an update too yesterday. I don't know, or actually 2 hours ago. I don't know if you saw that there have been, at Lane's End Farm, there have been 8 babies born so far, Saturday through Monday, or they had 8 babies born Saturday through Monday. 4 from Candy Rides, 2 from Smart Strikes, 1 Curlin, and 1 Tisnow. And they say, look out February. So they're having whole bunches of babies over there at Lane's End right now.
Well, good. You know, hey, new update is Rachel Alexandra has been taken back to the farm.
Oh, good, 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 good.
I'm not minute to minute, I guess. But she's back at Stoner Street Farm with her baby, so yay for them.
$100,000 later, she's back at the farm.
Exactly.
No, probably not quite that much. But, hey, I wanted to tell you, this is the most beautiful. You know, it's beautiful living in Lexington any time of the year. But, boy, when you live here this time of the year, like I just said, Lane's End, which is right down the street from us, had, what, 6-8 babies in the last 4 days. When you drive around this time of year around the farms, it is so cool. You basically do a baby count. You're driving around, and everybody slows down by the fields. You have to really be prepared not to rear-end people driving around the back roads in Lexington this time of year because there are little tiny babies everywhere, and they are so darn cute.
Oh, my gosh. I know. When I lived in Lexington, you know, if you haven't been there, picture what you could imagine Lexington as being, which is these extravagant rolling green hills and these white four-board fences and literally broodmares and foals everywhere. And the pastures are huge and the grass is tall and it's just everything you could possibly imagine for a thoroughbred baby. I would just pull over and take pictures, and it's just an amazing place to be this time of year. Springtime in Lexington is probably one of the best places to go. Book your trips now, people. Go see some babies. Take the drive.
It's a big deal, too. Everybody, when you see horse people, you go, I had my first baby spotting. So when you spot your first baby, it's a big thing for this time of the year. So
we should get Charles from Lane's End on to talk about all the babies. I remember I got to talk to him last year, and they had like 180 mares that they were breeding or something ridiculous, so that we're going to full out. So can you imagine having that many babies? So we'll have to talk to them and see how many they have coming up this year and how many they bred and how many are falling out. Oh, my God.
Well, when's Zenyatta due? She's got to be due within the next couple of weeks.
No, remember she bred but then lost the foal and then had to get bred back?
That's right. She was late.
So
that's
She's due in March.
March, okay. Yeah, because usually they like to have them as close to the beginning of the year as they can. But I forgot she had lost one and had to be rebred. You're right. Okay. Hey, I have an update, too, real quick before we get to our first guest today on our adopted endurance rider, Rachel Shackelford. Get this. Now, are you ready for this, Jamie? She posted on her Facebook page that she had a great weekend. She placed 5th in the FEI 80-kilometer Friday and 2nd in the FEI 160-kilometer Saturday.
Good now, Lord.
Calculate that out. That's not on the same horse, two different horses, but that's 240 kilometers in 2 days. That's like 120 miles in 2 days.
Oh, my God. That's ridiculous.
So the next time you're sore after riding for an hour, think of that.
I know, right? This goes back to the question that I asked her that was apparently a little uncomfortable for every endurance rider that I've asked, especially the men. How do you prevent chafing? I mean, my God, I take a trail ride around the block and I'm like, whoa, monkey butt. That happens, okay? You're not the only
That's
one.
That's the reason they're all wearing those spandex. They all wear like those biker pants. It's because you don't want anything, you don't want any bumps or valleys in what you're wearing. No bumps or valleys. It's all got to be nice and smooth. And I'll tell you what, after we sat in the endurance saddles that were next to us at the expo over the weekend, those are some comfortable seats they put on those things. I got to tell you, that was really nice. Nice and squishy.
It's like not even a saddle. It's like a couch.
I'm sorry. 140 miles, it's going to seem like a saddle. It's going to seem like a saddle after that long.
Yeah.
Hey, some other news, too. Let me see here. The last year we reported every year down in Wellington, they have this year it was the Nespresso Battle of the Sexes, and where the men and women compete against each other in an evening of competition. And I'm just checking here. And it looks like the women beat the men this year. For the fourth year in a row in this jumping competition, the women beat the men to win the $55,000 Nespresso Battle of the Sexes on Saturday night in front of 4,000 fans. And they won by 29-17. They swept all three phases of the competition.
Woo-hoo!
So,
yeah.
Look out.
That's what I'm talking about. Of course, women are better horse people than men. Jeez, you know what? I'm going to tell you a new story about a man that's a pig. And can you imagine if this was your horse? So a farrier comes out, and he's got his brother with him, and they're kind of hanging out at your farm, and they go around the horses, and then he's doing the horses. And farrier's brother says, "Hey, man." Actually, this happened over in Europe, so he'd say, "Hello." No, I won't do the accent. He says, "Hey, man, let me see if I can put a shoe on that horse." And the farrier's like, "Nah, dude, you can't do that. You're not a farrier. You're not an apprentice. You're not anything. You're just my brother." And the guy's like, "Come on, let me shoe that horse." And so the farrier finally relents and says, "Okay, well, you're my brother. Go ahead and shoe this horse." Apparently very illegal. Very, very illegal in Europe. Suspended from work from the Farriers Registration Council for allowing his untrained brother to shoe a horse. He has been fined with 490 euros, which is like $1 million. No, just kidding. It's like $300. So, he's fined like almost 800 euros for letting his brother shoe a horse. I would kill my friend. I would not be like, "No, I'm sorry, I'm going to fine you." I would be like, "You're fired, and I'm going to tell everybody I know about how awful you are. I'm going to start a website about how awful you are, because you should not be shoeing horses if you're going to let your brother do it." Isn't that terrible?
I wouldn't even consider doing that as the brother. I wouldn't say, "Well, you know, I wonder if he had any experience at all. Did he screw up the horse?" Did it say?
It didn't say. All it said that they found him guilty of illegal farriery. I don't know how to say the word. And the farrier was actually suspended and fined, not the brother.
I think their licensing and everything's much more strict over there than it is here.
Yeah.
Here, anybody can go out and farriery.
Farriery.
Made a new word there, Jamie. All right, let's get to our first guest. We'll have more news coming for you a bit later here. But we committed to the ESMA Awards, to Liam over at the ESMA Awards. Last year, we won the Best Newbie Award, and we were very proud of that. And, of course, we do the ESMA wrap-up show here on Horses in the Morning, where we get as many of the winners on as we can. Well, this year, we committed to Liam that because we won, we're the reigning Newbie Award winners for the ESMA Awards, we would try and get all the ones who are nominated on the show here. And the first nominee we have for you is out of England. Her name is Samantha Hobden. And she does a website called HeyNet, social blogging for the equine and country life world. So we appreciate her calling in all the way from England. Good afternoon, Samantha.
Hello there.
I'm so glad you could join us this morning, and congratulations on being nominated. That's fun.
Thank you. Yeah, I was very surprised.
Well, tell me, what is your blog about? Tell us about your blog.
I actually run a blogging network, which is to try and get everybody that writes equestrian blogs to come to a central place where we could all follow the blogs, not just UK ones. I've got lots and lots of American ones. I have some from Australia and South Africa, and we've got all these blogs, which are great, that everyone can read and follow.
I did notice that. I thought it was pretty cool. I've been waiting for somebody to do this for a long time, actually, somebody to actually really become a aggregator for equestrian blogs, because you don't remember to check them all every day, and on your website it's easy to go and see what posts are coming up in all the different blogs. I really like that.
Yeah, and I think what I was very surprised at when I was looking for blogs, in America there is a lot of riders that write about their lives with horses. There isn't that many in the UK. So I'm hoping that people will start reading the ones from the great American riders that you have out there, that they can start writing about their lives of horses too.
Well, I'm just looking here, you know, at one of the categories, one of the many categories you have is eventing. And to be honest, I didn't even know there were that many eventing blogs out there. I'm looking at an eventing affair, Aikens eventing, Becky Harrell eventing, Confessions of an Event Rider. I didn't know these were all out there.
Yeah, no, and we've got everything on there. We've got people that, you know, alternative methods. We've got a lot of dressage riders. As I said, I've got a lot of American riders that are writing about their lives with horses, and I was just surprised that there was nowhere to central to go and find these blogs.
Well, that's true. There wasn't. But now there is. When did you start this?
I started it 5 months ago.
Okay, cool. So why do you think, obviously somebody has nominated you. A lot of the people who read your blog must have went in and nominated you. And what do you think? Why do you think they did? What was the appeal?
Don't know. I mean, I was really surprised. I've only started it 5 months ago. And to be honest, it was a bit of a hobby that I started. It wasn't to anything to, I just thought, let's see if I can get some of these blogs, you know, on a central place, get people to actually read and follow them. And it's just sort of taken off, and there's some fantastic members, and they're writing such brilliant things about very, very different subjects in the equestrian world. And I think people have sort of embraced it, which I'm thrilled at. So hopefully they've casted some votes for me.
How many different blogs are on here, do you know?
I've got 160 independent blogs, and I've got 525 members on the site that are, and a lot are blogging, you know, through Haynet just every day, a little bit about what they're doing in their lives, and it's really interesting to follow.
Wow, that's a lot. I didn't realize there were that many. When you come and first look at it, you don't realize there are that many.
No, there's 160 on there, and there's a huge variety of blogs to read and follow, and I'm really, really pleased that people are, you know, enjoying the site and using it.
And I want to thank you. I just noticed that you have a link to our shows on there.
I have put that on there. I've been listening to you in the last few days, and I'm absolutely, I think it's a brilliant idea you've got the radio. It's not something we have too much here in the UK, so hopefully people will start listening and coming over and listen to all your, you know, programs that you have.
And we have a lot of guests, actually, from Europe and from England, and we have a lot of listeners over there. England and the UK are our third largest listening base. So we have a ton of listeners over there already, and we try and have a lot of guests on from England. So we really appreciate you putting that on there. And I used to own an acting company where we did medieval feasts. So, and then I'm looking at your thing, and I'm seeing that there's actually somebody that does a medieval blog, and I'm seeing about this medieval banquet, and I'm going, how can I get over for the medieval banquet?
That's a fantastic charity run in England that for heavy horses. They rescue heavy horses, and they're just trying to raise money and awareness for their charity work. And they're hosting a medieval banquet in July to try and raise money and to look after the horses that they rescue.
I could get my costume out and come on over.
It would be fantastic. So we're happy to sort of promote anything to do, especially with the horse rescue charities, you know, anything like that, I'm happy to promote on there and to get people to sort of, you know about what the events that they hold.
I am loving this segment that you have, and I'm curious, is this from do you have your own blog in here? Because as I'm looking on the front page, there's things that individually are posted, and then the Haynet admin will post it, but I'm loving these pictures of all these people. They do a mud monster competition. Is your horse?
I know, and that's actually my horse that's on there today. It's the last day of the mud monster competition because we are, unfortunately, in the UK, we're up to our knees in mud with the, you know, in the depths of the winter, and there's some very muddy horses out there.
Oh yeah, I'm looking at these pictures and it is impressive, very impressive.
Yeah.
You change colors,
and it's just a bit of fun, and that's what I like about the site. And we have people that write about very serious issues with horses, but we have some really funny blogs that really make you laugh, and you know that's what it's all about. It's a very mixed bunch of members that I have here, and they're all really, really great, and they're very interesting blogs that you can read.
I'm loving it. I think with all the different the eventing blogs, dressage blogs, horse breeds, and anything very general, and I'm even loving the blogs from parents. They're like, hey, I'm a parent of so-and-so who rides, and this is my perspective. And I'm going to have to go read those because I want to know what my mom was thinking. What was she thinking?
I know. I know. No, we have some great members, and, you know, it's just also, I'm hoping with the site that it will encourage people to start blogging about their horses and what and the ups and downs, because, you know, as you know, that there are some really good times that you have with horses, but you also have the downsides. And what I have found that people that have been struggling with their horse for any particular reason, whether it's been a medical issue or it's been to do with having lessons and they're not working out, the members have been really supportive and offering advice and offering support. And I also have a fantastic lady called Lorraine Jennings on there, who's our anything equine agony aunt, and she can help with any problems to do with horses, and she's been brilliant.
Oh, that's terrific. And I'm noticing, too, the one other thing I like, and I want to ask how you can get your horse on it, is you do a Hey Nets Horse of the Week, where you highlight a horse and talk, put a picture up there and talk about them and you know, give a description of them. How do people get to be the Horse of the Week?
Yeah, that's something we started a couple of weeks ago, because actually, you know, Hey Net is all about writing about our horses, and I decided that the horses needed to be mentioned. So every week, I've just asked the members, if you want your horse to be featured, just send me an email, give me a photograph, give me some details and the ups and downs of the horse and what their quirks are and how old they are and what breed. And people have loved that. The members have sent me many, many pictures, and I have a queue now of the Horse of the Week. So today I've changed it. We've got the lovely Jack, who's a Connemara Cross Thoroughbred, on there today. And next week we'll pop another one up there.
Terrific. Well, people can still vote for you. If you haven't voted yet for the Equestrian Social Media Awards, hop on over. You can find the link on the HeyNet blog. It's hey-net.co.uk. Jennifer will post a link to it on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning as well. And you can cast your vote. They're in two categories, best newcomer. And as I said, that's the one we won last year, so that's why we're having you on, trying to highlight all the newcomers. And also, you're in the best blog. So, and there's a lot of competition. Dappled Gray's in there, Eventing Nation's in there. There's a lot. You have some serious competition. Horse Junkies United is in there. You have
some
serious competition.
There are some really, really good finalists. And, you know, I wish everybody the best in, you know, and I hope that they all, you know, get through.
Terrific. Well, thank you very much for calling in today all the way from England. We really appreciate it. And I will give you the address again. It's a-net.co.uk. Put that in your favorites and check it often.
Thank you ever so much for having me.
All right. Thanks, Samantha. Good luck.
Thank you.
Right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's now on my favorites, Glenn. This is such a great blog. I love it because you can just kind of keep connected with every blog, especially, you know, I'm always visiting the eventing blogs all the time and trying to see what everybody's doing, and you just click on the eventing category, it takes you to it, and booyah. And I love the one about the girl. It's called Shoes, Shoes, Shoes and Horses. A girl can never have too many shoes nor too many horses. I agree, sister.
That's pretty good. Well, before we get to our special guests coming up here, I've got to tell you that we had a 10-hour trip both ways to Philadelphia and back, driving in the Jeep over the mountains of West Virginia, which, as Jamie, you've driven that road before when you drive all the way through West Virginia from Lexington, Kentucky. It is up and down and around and up and down and around and over the mountains and through the woods. And I'll tell you what, it is the most boring drive at night when there's no cars on the road. But you have to kind of pay attention because it's so twisty, windy. But the drive went so fast on the way back yesterday, and because we were listening to an Audible book. Audible.com is the thing you want to do. You've got to download an Audible book, Jamie, before you go to California this weekend, because it just makes the drive go like that. We were listening to a Dirk Pitt book. And it was suspenseful. It kept us on the edge of our seat. And before we knew it, we were in Kentucky. And I said to Jennifer, I said, did it seem like West Virginia just went by like that? And it did, because we were listening to the Audible book. And you get so into it, you forget.
Which one?
Thank God. We were listening to, let me take a look, Crescent Dawn. It's called Crescent Dawn. And we love all the Dirk Pitt novels. They're terrific novels. And
oh,
let me see. Dirk Pitt, yep, love Dirk Pitt. And it was a great book, all about Numa, and it's all underwater, you know, and spy and mystery adventures. And by Clive Cussler. Clive Cussler writes all of those books. This one's called A Crescent Dawn, a Dirk Pitt novel, and it was terrific. And we absolutely loved it. Kept us on the edge of our seat. And this book lasted all the way up and all the way back. It was almost 20 hours. So it kept us busy the whole entire trip. We're going to Florida here soon, and we'll have another book loaded up. Well, you can find your books, things that you like, at Audible. They have over 100,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on over 500 different devices. Basically, whatever electronic device you have, you can probably listen to it on your refrigerator. I don't know. Check the list. It's probably on there. Maytag. Just look under Maytag. We have listened to over 100 books since 2004, and right now you get a 14-day free trial just by being a listener to Horse Radio Network. You can get a free book. Just hop on to audibletrial.com/HRN. That's audibletrial.com/HRN. Get your free book today. Take a listen. You will be hooked. And it's not that expensive either. This is you pay a monthly thing fee, and you get a certain number of books depending on the level you want. And we love this. We've had it for years. So give it a try at audibletrial.com/HRN. And Jamie, I think our guests are ready here.
I know. Play it. Come on.
Ah, okay. Sorry about that. I was looking for it. There it is.
They're off in the classic. Turbo Compressor and Adios Charlie, right out for the lead, and Mucho Macho Man is right on their outside in the race to the first turn. And then it's Duke of Mischief saving ground, Ron the Greeks on the far outside, and Dream Maestro and Decaf again trail the field as Turbo Compressor leads the way early. Mucho Macho Man three quarters of a length behind, Adios Charlie third to the inside. Ron the Greek is in fourth, and he's 2.5 lengths off the lead. That first quarter went in 24-1. And Turbo Compressor is the leader. Mucho Macho Man turning up the heat on the outside. Now they're a half length apart. Adios Charlie being ridden to keep up with them. He's dropped back. Passed now by Ron the Greek. Duke of Mischief's also under a ride. And Mucho Macho Man has taken the lead. He's in front coming to the top of the stretch. Turbo Compressor back into second on the rail. And then it's Ron the Greek. And they're into the stretch. And it's Ramon Dominguez and Mucho Macho Man coming to the eighth pole clear from Turbo Compressor. Ron the Greek is closing on the outside. Mucho Macho Man to catch. Ron the Greek is taking second. Turbo Compressor third. Mucho Macho Man did it!
Mucho Macho Man wins! Congratulations, Patty and Dean. How does that feel?
Oh, I tell you, just listening to that again was gives you chills. It was fantastic.
Gosh, did you guys have any idea what you were getting yourselves into when you tell everybody where you got him again?
Well, we had gotten into horse racing, and we were looking at another horse to purchase when watching the replay, and I saw him there, and told my trainer at the time, I said, I really like that horse, and, you know, fortunately, we were able to become the majority owner in Mucho Macho Man, and what a ride it's been.
No kidding. And the thing is, he didn't win the race that you guys were watching, right?
Right.
No, he finished second.
So you guys saw something special in him, and I just want to read a quote from the race this past weekend that your jockey, Ramon Dominguez, actually quoted to the Blood Horse. This is the Blood Horse. This is a big deal. He says, it was the absolute perfect trip. We were right on the outside of the speed. He handled himself so well. He gave me the feeling every step of the way that whenever I was ready to ask, he was ready to go. He gave me so much confidence. I was just a passenger today. You can really tell how much he's grown up since I rode him in the Belmont. Back then, he was just a big, skinny horse that had a lot of maturing to do. Now he looks like he's grown up and has everything figured out.
Wow.
That's well put. That's it in a nutshell. I mean, Ramon and Macho are got it figured out together. And, I think Ramon knows when to push the button. He knows it's there. It helps him to maneuver in the race. And, it's a great combination. And Kathy Ritvo and her staff have just done a great job bringing him back and they just have him in tip-top shape for the race in November and then also for this race.
So what? Where is he going next? I mean, you know, is he aiming for the Breeders' Cup this year? I know it's a long way away, but we can dream.
Yeah,
about, right?
all of that's way off. I mean, we don't know yet what's next. We'd like to give him a couple of weeks to come back down from being ready for that race, and then they'll start to look and see. What makes sense. The nice thing as a four-year-old is there's a lot of great races out there all through the year. And so there's a lot of opportunities, and we'll just see what, how they sort of shake out. And it's going to be a lot of fun. There's a lot of great horses that have come back this year to race. And so we're really looking forward to it. It's just, I think for the fans, it's going to be fantastic because every race, it's going to be some top quality horses in there.
Hey, Jamie.
I got to
jump in here quick, Jamie, because let's not forget to mention that this was a $400,000 Florida Sunshine Millions Classic. Let's not forget to mention that you guys made a little money over the weekend.
Well, thank goodness for that, because I can't tell you how many bills we get in every week in order to be there. It's a great way to start the 2012 season. We have some other good horses that we think are coming to the forefront, and we hope that they can step up in there and start doing what the big guy does. But it is very nice to for everybody to get a paycheck.
Oh, yeah, you're so modest. Mucho Macho Man added $240,000 to his bankroll. So he's now earned over $883,643 in his 13-race career. And, my God, that's just awesome. I mean, to have a racehorse that makes any money, you know what I mean?
He helps offset the mistakes, the ones that didn't quite work out for whatever reason. It's a lot of things, and we love all the horses that we get, even those that maybe aren't quite as successful on the racetrack, and we enjoy being around them. And it's just a great business, and the people are great, and but you've got to be. Got to remain humble in this business, because you win some good races, and there's times that you're not going to be as successful, and you just have to not get too high, not get too low.
Yeah, I know that. Well, that's well said. But I was thinking that, Patty, when I saw that he added $240,000, we could go do some major shopping.
Amen. Yeah, that's definitely, well, all these horse races require new outfits pretty much every time almost,
Good point.
Kathy and I joke about that.
Yeah, that'd be great. No, any chance you're going to come to the West Coast, so maybe you and I can do some shopping together. We can go to Santa Anita. We can go to, let's see,
$240,000. It's a dream of mine to get out there and see that track. I've never been there, and I've just heard and seen pictures of it and how beautiful it is. And I just, I hope that we get to visit there. To be in a race there would be over-the-top dream come true, but just to visit there. So I definitely will let you know, and maybe we can schedule that shopping trip, and you can show me around a little.
I don't live there, but I can certainly GPS us to Rodeo Drive. I have no problem with that. Seems like, get off the phone. Shut up. Hang up on her.
I think both of you would just go out there for a shopping trip, whether it was a horse race or not.
Yeah, that might be true. Never have. Tiffany's is right there, too. We can bring you something pretty, Dean.
Okay, great.
So what is next for Mucho Macho Man?
Well, I think he will settle in a little bit, get back to the track probably maybe even today or tomorrow, and we'll start let him relax back a little bit. Those races take a lot out of the horses, and he put forth a tremendous effort. And I want to say this. I want to thank all the fans out there for Mucho Macho Man. The cheering and the noise when he crossed the finish line was just fantastic, and it was so exciting, and he has – He's so blessed to have such a great following of fans. They love this horse, and I know they were as happy as we were because he put together a great performance. But the fans are just fantastic, and I know Patty and I, we really appreciate all the support.
Oh, yeah, we had people coming up to us. And remember, in the morning we were at, they were doing a breakfast at Gulfstream Park, and Dean was interviewed, and fans were coming up talking to Dean, and the one fan came over and said, I hope he breaks the track record, right? And he came close.
Aww.
So that was exciting. And then how about for Tim to be able to present the trophy to Kathy in the winner's circle? That was such a tearjerker moment.
Tell the audience about that.
Go ahead, Patty.
Okay. Our trainer, Kathy Ritvo, her husband is Tim Ritvo, and Tim is the president of Gulfstream Racetrack. And so as the president, Tim gets to hand the trophy to whoever wins. That was a first for him to hand the trophy to her in the winner's circle and for us to all be there. It was just, wow.
That is so cool. I didn't know that little detail, so that's terrific. And I wanted to ask you, too, obviously when we did the Kentucky Derby last year, one of the big stories that was on the international news was Kathy, because she had undergone the major surgery and her health and all of that. How is she doing? Is she doing okay?
Oh, she's doing great. She's as healthy as can be, and she had just had a complete checkup right before the race, and she got a green light on her health, and it was really exciting because her doctor, her cardiologist, was there at the race. We got to meet him, and he was in the winner's circle with us, too, and we were keeping him on standby between Kathy's heart condition, and Dean's had two stents now and two little heart scares, so we kept him in close range of sight, but it was great to have him there, too.
Maybe next time you should get a horse that doesn't come from behind, okay? Because that horse would give you a heart attack.
Yes.
Well, how about his shoes? Now, speak of shoes, he had trouble keeping shoes on there for a while last year. Have we solved that problem?
Yes, that problem's been solved. We feel pretty confident that we're in good shape there.
Okay, good. That's always a concern, you know, especially when you see them losing them during the race. That's not something you want to see happen, and it's something that's hard to overcome when you're a horse racing with losing that one shoe at the beginning like he did.
Well, it is, and but, you know, these last several races, things have worked out great. They've kind of got that, you know, you learn these things with these horses every day, and again, Kathy, you know, kind of figured out what we needed to do there, and I think we've got that solved. And so, you know, right now everything's, you know, moving forward, and that's what you just keep your fingers crossed on all your horses, that you can keep them happy and moving forward. And certainly, you know, Macho is he's feeling good and he's really happy, and that's what you want to do for your horse.
Well, Dean, I love how humble you stay, because you know, it's just such an amazing thing to have a big horse in your barn where, you know, a lot of times, like you were saying, you have your mistakes, and fortunately you have one that may pay for it. But as far as the mistakes go, you know, I don't know how many of your horses have started to run that you bought last year. I know you have some pretty nice ones coming up. Tell us about those.
Well, we are very excited about Miss Swanee. She's a 3-year-old filly that actually in her last race lost in a photo finish. She actually was in a 3-way photo finish. And so we almost broke her maiden in that race at Gulfstream Park. So we think she's going to be do a great job for us. And she's a wonderful horse. And I think things will be a good future for her. We picked up a horse in December named Silver Menace. And I think that's a gelding that we've got that's going to be hopefully running maybe this weekend. And I think he's going to be a very nice horse for the stable. We also have Arthur. I think we talked about him before. Arthur is another colt that we've got that is starting to make great progress. He finished, I think it was sixth in his last race, but he was only a length and a half off the winner and was, you know, moving forward. So we've got some horses that we're real happy about that are getting better and better. And that's, you know, it takes them a little while to get there. And then we've got a couple of two-year-olds that will very soon will be getting to Kathy. One is a Johannesburg filly that we're excited about. We haven't named her yet. And then we also have another filly named Ocean Spray 2 that we think is going to be a really nice filly. Both those are two-year-olds. And some exciting things in the stable. Finn Green, our racing manager, is doing a great job of helping me and Patty and Kathy select horses and manage our horses. And, you know, right now things are real good. You still have some races you don't do as well as you'd like. Like I said, we finished sixth, and we had another horse finish eighth even last week. And so you need to stay humble in this business. But because, you know, Saturday's win was the first win we've ever had at Gulfstream Park.
Wow.
So there aren't, you know, even though we've had several races, it's difficult. There are tremendous athletes that are put out there to race at Gulfstream Park. They do a great job there at the track. So it's always a competitive field, and that's just how difficult it is to win.
It certainly is, and that's why, you know, please give Mucho Macho Man a big peppermint from us. But as far as your unnamed filly goes, I would like to run a couple things by you, maybe, if you...
We're struggling for names.
Okay, well, first of all, obvious choice, Jamie Jennings. Be really surprised. That would be good. I was also thinking something along the lines of Horses in the Morning or Horse Radio. I like that name, Horse Radio. That's good.
I second that.
Okay.
Just, if any of those
keep them coming,
just let me know. I'd be happy. Okay, Glenn, do you have anything you would like to throw in there?
I'm sure they're not taken. I'm sure they're available, too. You won't have to worry about that. That'll be easy.
Yeah.
Paperwork won't be a problem.
We will certainly put those on the list.
I'm sure you will.
You know what? I'll email you a spreadsheet of some more choices that I will have made. I'll put them in a Word file. It'll be nice and easy for you.
That'd be great. Yeah, and then we'll see which one. They're all great, though. Listen, they're all great names.
Mm-hmm. He is so humble, and he's such a liar.
Yeah.
Well, you guys, listen, we love having you on all the time. It is so great that you do. I would love, just if I could take just a second and encourage y'all, with all the horses that you guys are getting into, some of us here love to have off-the-track thoroughbreds when they're done racing. So I would just encourage you guys to always try to find a really awesome place to retire your guys if they're not going to breeding. If you have any geldings out there, find a good retirement home for them, and hopefully give them a really good life. I know you guys will.
Yeah, we do that. We've had some that we've retired, and we're excited about one of the horses I had, Uncle Joe. We retired, and actually is going to go into a new career of being a polo horse. So all of our horses, we make sure, without a doubt, that they find a great home, and we follow up and keep in touch with them. Because we consider them all family.
I knew you would. And if for some reason Mucho Macho Man decides that he doesn't want to run anymore, he will make a fantastic event horse. So just send him on to Phoenix.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thanks. We appreciate y'all keeping in touch with us, and enjoy being on your show. And it's always a lot of fun to talk to you both and the fans out there. And we just really, you know, thanks for that support. We hope we can continue moving forward for 2012. It's going to be exciting. It's some great racing ahead of us.
It really is. And thank you guys so much for keeping connected with your fans. And Mucho Macho Man posts on his Facebook page all the time. So if you don't follow him, definitely find Mucho Macho Man on Facebook and follow him. You will be incredibly entertained. And he posts really wonderful little pictures. And tell him that I think his writing style is fantastic, if you don't mind, Patty.
Oh, thanks. I will tell him. He should give a piece to his secretary.
Sounds good, you guys. Good luck in the future. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks so much.
Great.
We really
bye.
Enjoyed
thanks,
it, you guys.
Right,
okay,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's great. That's Dean and Patty Reeves, our adopted racehorse owners here on Horses in the Morning. It's so nice of them to stop by and give us updates. We do appreciate that. We know they're busy, and he actually has, like, real businesses, too, that he runs in addition to the racehorse thing. So
they're a super big deal. I mean, they're, like, a really big deal. I can't believe that they continue to come on and talk to little old us. But I was serious about the names, and I'm hoping that I'll just send over a couple for the unnamed Philly.
Don't,
but I kind of liked Horse Radio. It's a good name.
I know, but I don't think he was too impressed, to be honest. He didn't sound real excited about that.
Yeah, I didn't have a whole lot of time to prepare, you know, so I just wrote down a couple.
I appreciate the effort, though. I really do. We'll have to make sure you get a little bonus in your paycheck, because that was a pretty good effort you made there.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Horses in the Morning.
You're going to need it if you're going shopping with Patty.
Oh, my God, I know. I was like, I could be like her assistant that carries the bags.
Yes. Yeah, that's probably all you could afford on Rodale Drive if you're going shoveling with that.
Here, Miss Reeves. Here, Miss Reeves. Let me get that for you. Can I get the door for you, Miss Reeves? All right, Miss Reeves. Hand me that bag. I'll get this.
That looks so good on you, Miss Reeves. That looks terrific. I really like those shoes on you.
Beautiful, Miss Reeves. That is just gorgeous. Anything I can get? Can I get you a cup of coffee?
How do you keep track of your horse's information, Janie?
Obviously, there's only one way, and that's Pocket Stable, Glenn. Did I answer that correctly? Of course I did.
Because
there's no other one.
PocketStable.com.
I will. PocketStable.com is an iPhone app that you can download to keep track of all your horse's information, like farrier visits, shots, dewormings. You can even track their weight on Pocket Stable. It's just an iPhone app, too. And, I know some people don't keep their phone handy in the barn. I keep mine in my pocket all the time because I'm by myself a lot. So it's very handy for me when the farrier's there. I just whip it out of the back pocket, type in the date that she's here, and then we're all good. And I've got it in no matter when I go. Okay, I've got, like, this weekend, I have Galway Downs coming up. And I had to find out, I like Jet to have some kind of fresher shoes when he goes to compete, and he had to get drilled and tapped, which is so he can have the studs put in. So I had to figure out the best date for him to get shod and try to kind of get it as close to Galway so it wasn't like 4 weeks from the last time. So I pulled out my handy iPhone app, and I typed in Pocket Stable, and tomorrow he's going to be 5 weeks. So tomorrow he's getting shod for this weekend's horse trial. Woohoo!
There you go. That's why Pocket Stable works. Give it a try. It's only $3.99. What the heck? Well, we have a song here for you today that's free. And it is from Templeton Thompson. I don't know that we've played this one recently, at least. I don't know if we've ever played it. It's called We Are All on Our Way Somewhere. And I thought if we had Dean and Patty on, that they're definitely on their way somewhere. And so is Mucho Macho Man. So I thought the song just fit today. We're All on Our Way Somewhere by Templeton Thompson.
We're all on our way somewhere, headed down some different roads. It's easy to get lost out there. We don't always find our way back home. Sometimes life ain't fair. We're all on our way somewhere. We're all doing the best we can. Sometimes that's the hardest thing to do. We all need a helping hand to pick us up, to pull us through. When we can't find the strength to stand. We're all doing the best we can. Always twisting and turning, constantly. they're not the same. Me, I've lived through some living hell, and I'm still dealing with the pain. But I'm feeling better than I've ever felt. We all got our own story to tell.
Well, that was Templeton Thompson. We're all on our way somewhere. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. And Jamie, no, I misspoke. I meant to say this song was free because you can listen to it on the show right now, but I don't think she's given this one away for free on her website, which is kind of the way I made it sound. So sorry, Tempe.
Man,
sorry about that.
That was a beautiful song. I'm like, where can I go download that? So can we just find that song on templetonthompson.com?
Yes, or at iTunes. You just search for it on iTunes, just from Thompson on iTunes, and you'll find all of her music there as well. Download it for 99 cents. We're all on our way somewhere. It's a beautiful song. I really like that one. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings and our new racehorse named Horse Radio that Dean and Patty are not going to do. But anyway, we are sponsored today by Audible.com, and we appreciate their support. Check them out at audibletrial.com/HRN. We're going to be coming up here in a minute with Victoria Spicer of Horse and Country TV. But first, I gotta mention this bumper sticker. Did you see what Rachel posted on our Facebook page? Remember how yesterday we were talking about Horse Hollow Press and some of the new bumper stickers that they came out with? Because they're the ones that do all the funny horsey bumper stickers. I had never seen
the one that I liked was my other car is an OTTB.
Yes,
I love
that's
that.
Right. Well, Rachel posted on our page the bumper sticker that she has from Horse Hollow Press on her car, and I had not seen this one before, and I thought it was great. It says, now this is the bumper sticker on the back of her car, keep that in mind. It says, caution, I already gelded the horse, and he didn't even tailgate. Oh, I love that one.
That's a great one. I love it.
I think that one's terrific. So thank you, Rachel, for posting that. We really appreciate it. Another thing I wanted to mention, too, from Facebook from over the weekend is Scott Nelson. Remember, we talked about his – he was the horse husband that we read the to-do list on how to take care of the barn in the morning. We did that last week on the show. And he had a little pig. Remember his little pig, pet pig Diamond? Well, he
posted – Diamond.
Diamond.
Yeah.
Well, he posted a picture over the weekend of Diamond. It's a funny picture. You have to go to our Facebook page and check it out. And their dog, Dixie. Dixie is a little Jack Russell. And Dixie has her head stuck in the feed bucket. So all you see is the dog's butt sticking out of a feed bucket. And right beside her is another feed bucket with Diamond's butt, little pig butt, sticking out the other one. It is the cutest picture. Check it out on our Facebook. Maybe Jennifer can repost it on our Facebook page. But it is really funny seeing the dog butt and the pig butt both sticking out of feed buckets. It's really funny.
And what's funny is the pig is like doing the splay leg, like the legs are stuck out behind him, where the dog's standing up and licking the bucket. The pig is laid out like 2 feet in the front, 2 feet out back, and just laying there eating. He said that it's their bran mash day, and apparently he likes to clean the bran mash off the bottom of the bucket. So they have jobs.
Well, I'm so glad. We have the coolest listeners, don't we? They post all this neat stuff.
We really do. Really do. Now, I've got to, let's go ahead and we'll talk to Victoria before we get into a little bit more of the news stories, because I've got a story that you will not believe. That you will not believe the stuff that people will spend their money on. I wish I could, but I can't. So I won't. We're going to talk about that coming up after we have Victoria on, Victoria Spicer with Horse and Country TV. Hello, Victoria.
Hello. How are you?
Well, we're doing fantastic. Can't complain. It's Tuesday. How's everything over there in where are you, England?
Yeah, indeed, in London. It's very chilly, but we don't have any snow here, whereas I think other parts of the country do. So, a bit chilly today.
Doesn't London, like, I remember that Chad was deployed, and he was flying back to be home for Christmas with me a year before last, and they had a connecting flight in London. The flight lands, they were supposed to leave London the next day, and that night, a huge snowstorm of, like, I don't know, a wussy inch came in and shut down everything, and my husband barely made it home for Christmas 2 years ago, so... Is that what really happens in London? Have you had
this
year?
We haven't had it this year. We've had two terrible winters where we've had snow and the whole country is just ground to a halt. And as I mentioned last week, I'm from Scotland, where when we get snowfall, we get proper snowfall. As in, we used to have to climb our way to the stables, and there would be snow drifts going right the way up the stable doors, and you couldn't get your horses in and out. And it was quite regular to have a couple of feet of snow. In London, as you say, there's a very slight dusting, and the whole place grinds to a halt, especially our transport system. So it's not that useful.
Yeah, no, it was ridiculous. Apparently, my husband spent like 8 hours in a train station just trying to get on a train. And they ended up just walking to where the train was supposed to take them. So it was pretty bad. So I don't know how you guys deal with it. But I think we've got something to talk about that is completely opposite of the snow, a ride in the desert.
Yes, we've got endurance riding is quite a big thing over here. And we've got a girl called Katrina Moon, who's one of our best endurance riders, has been invited to go and take part in the President's Cup ride across the Abu Dhabi desert in a couple of weeks' time. And it's 160 kilometers long, and they have to go across the desert and up and down sand dunes. So it's a really taxing ride. And what makes it really interesting is Katrina is based over here, and so she's having to train for this country by loading up her horse with rugs and trying to get her horse used to being in kind of warm conditions. So it's a difficult time of year to be training for a desert ride, that's for sure.
Wait, she did what now? She covered him, with like blankets and everything, and then was training him under blankets?
Yes, as in normally you're trying to keep your horse cool when you're riding him, whereas she's wrapping him into exercise sheets so that it traps in the heat and the horse gets used to working in those conditions.
Okay, well, I would hope that, just to be fair, she's wearing a lot of rugs too.
I hope so.
She's going to have to ride in that heat too.
I think any time you ride over here in the winter, you have to wrap up in hundreds of layers. So they're probably quite used to it. It's usually the horses that you keep them wrapped up all the time, and then you take them out for an hour for a ride, and they've been clipped, and they go outside into the cold air, and we all wonder why they're all leaping around everywhere, and it's because they're trying to keep warm. Whereas we're wrapped up in our, like, puffer jackets and gloves and scarves, and we can't see what the problem is.
Yeah, I don't know why they're being so misbehaved. I don't know. So this is like a ride almost like in the movie Hidalgo, where they're riding up and down sand dunes and all that.
I'm hoping that they don't have a big desert storm and a kind of rival who's chasing her and trying to shoot her or something. I'm hoping it's going to be a bit less dramatic than Hidalgo. But, I might check in with her after the event to see if Viggo Mortensen turned up.
Seriously, though, I mean, make sure you tell her not to try to hook up with any of the princes and keep her face, you know, cover, because you wouldn't want anybody trying to kidnap who she's hanging out with. I mean, my God, it could be really bad. So tell her to be careful.
I will.
Well, what else do you have got going on? Tell us about the museum.
We have a big exhibition coming to the British Museum in London, and it's all about the horse. And I think it's the first exhibition they've ever held that is just purely about everything equine, from the very kind of start of history. And they've got ancient artifacts and like rock drawings from like ancient sites, and going all the way up to the modern age, and kind of covering the, you know, the three foundation thoroughbred stallions that came out from the Arabian lines. And it's being held this summer to coincide with both the Olympics and also the Queen's Diamond Jubilee. So I think it's going to be worth a visit. And I think, yeah, the horse and country team should go and have an educational day at the museum.
So, pop quiz, can you name the horses, the three foundation sires for the thoroughbred breed?
Park is one of them. And the Darley Arabian and the Godolphin Arabian, is that right?
Yeah, well done.
I did read that quite recently, and also I was very lucky last year. I got to go to the Dubai World Cup, which is just the most incredible race day in the entire racing calendar, and they brought out 100 feet tall kind of floats that represented the three foundation stallions. So by the time I'd seen that and all the fireworks and all the music, it sticks in my memory a little bit.
I would imagine. I learned that from reading Marguerite Henry's book about the Godolphin Arabian. What was it called? Jennifer, is it? I know the horse's name was Sham in the book.
King of the Wind?
What was... Yes, King of the Wind. Yeah. Thank you very much. Exactly. So back to the United States, you guys have some riders over here that are doing pretty well, huh?
We do indeed. Now, I did say last week that I thought Charlotte Dujardin was the one to watch at the World Dressage Masters, and I know Stephen Peters had said that, you know, he'd be keeping an eye on her, and she came very, very close, but you guys kept her in second place. So, but I think as a new combination, and she's only been riding at Grand Prix with that horse for 12 months or so, I think to go there and finish second at such a big competition, she did really well. So we're very proud of Charlotte.
Yeah, and I think Nick too. I mean, my gosh, what a great time he's had down there.
Definitely. He's been competing in the Winter Festival, and he just keeps winning and winning. And Carlo is his European Championship ride, and he picked up 2 bronze medals this summer. But Carlo, the making of him was really being out in Florida last year, and he started to do really well, and the horse got used to being at such a big show and coping with the atmosphere, and he's just gone from strength to strength. And so I think quite a few British riders have gone over there this year to have the same thing and hope that it has the same miracle effect on their horse, that it just is the making of them.
Yeah, definitely. Well, not to put you on the spot, but next week, not this coming weekend, but the next weekend, Clayton Fredericks is coming to do a clinic here in the United States. He's actually going to be at Galway, and I just cannot go 2 weekends in a row all the way to California. However, he's going to be there, but I know you guys do a lot of series, but I haven't seen any new Clayton Frederick shows on horseandcountry.tv.
We haven't had any new ones for a while, but we still repeat the original series that they have, and they're still incredibly popular, so definitely. And I think everyone who's a fan of Clayton and his wife, Lucinda, should keep an eye on the site for the next few days, as we've got some news coming up about them.
Ooh, see? A teaser. She's
right,
good.
Yeah.
Well, great. Well, Victoria, as always, please, everybody, go check out horseandcountry.tv. It will be, okay, if you're sitting at work right now and you're in a cubicle and you're hating your life and you're like, I'm so bored, I just want to do something entertaining with the rest of my day, please, you will kill an entire day at work. waste time major by going to horseandcountry.tv, and it'll be better than work. Check it out, horseandcountry.tv. Victoria Spicer, thank you so much for coming on today and talking to us.
Thank you for having me. Have a great week.
All right.
Thank you, Victoria. Bye.
Yes, bye.
Wait, sometimes we get a good connection with her from England, and other times there's a lot of fuzz. I apologize for the static that was there, but you can't always control that when she's calling in from England to our system.
Yeah.
It happens sometimes.
And I know she, I just had to wrap it up because it seemed to be getting worse, but there is something that she wanted to talk to us about, and it's Galloper Jack. It's about a real-life war horse. So that video is on horseandcountry.tv as well. And I love it, love it, love it. So the news story I've been wanting to tell you, Glenn.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe.
Okay.
So there was a VIP benefit auction over the weekend for the United States Equestrian Team. It was hosted by USEF President David O'Connor and USET Foundation President Jane Clark. They were up on stage, and they're doing some benefit auctions. Well, guess who rolls on into the, it's called an English Country Evening Benefit by, he kind of, a late addition to the festivities. He had initially offered 4 VIP tickets to any concert in the United States, but kind of turned heads when Bruce Springsteen himself walks in to a fundraiser for the United States Equestrian Team. Now, there was supposed to be 4 tickets, like I said, to go to a concert of his anywhere in the United States. Well, he rolls in and he's like, yeah, all right, I'll make it 8 passes. Wait, 10. Ended up giving away 20 concert tickets to anywhere in the United States that somebody wanted
to go. What did that go for?
Oh, I'm going to get to it, because he then started signing Fender guitars and auctioning those off. Then he auctioned off a personal backstage tour to one of his concerts. And apparently, 2 bidders, Hunter Harrison and Tom Tisbo, were hotly contesting the item, the personal backstage tour. And in the end, each offered to donate $275,000 to the team for the opportunity to see Springsteen in concert. So
Holy crap.
We'll both take it. Well, but you know, Springsteen's like, both of you, if you give me $275,000 to the United States Equestrian Team, boom, you're both going. And they're like, okay, oh my God. Other items, I mean, first of all, Bruce Springsteen is the man.
Well, we have to mention, too, for those that don't know, his daughter, Jessica Springsteen, is a big jumper rider and is, I don't know if she's part of the Equestrian Team at this point, but she's going to be. She's very good. And she's working her way up, so he is invested in the horse world now, whether he wants to be or not, because of his daughter.
Yeah, I would like to point out that also that's a really great way to get her noticed.
That's true.
I'm Bruce Springsteen. I don't know if you know my daughter, but she would like to be on the team. I'm going to give you about $500,000 worth of stuff. So to tell you about the rest of the extremely awesome night that happened, NBC Today show host Matt Lauer and his wife, Annette Lauer, who is also an equestrian, was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was there as well, both of them. They came up on stage. They did a speech. Now, they continued the auction theme to raise money for the United States Equestrian Team, and I'm just going to run through these. There was a custom oil portrait donated by Sharon Lim Campbell, which sold for $22,000. There's a London Olympics eventing package donated by Jet Set Sports and also brought in $22,000. There's a dressage and a show jumping package, $155,000. Check this out. You know the author Tammy Hoag? New York Times best-selling author.
She's a dressage rider from Wellington. Yep. She's been on the show before.
I was going to say, we just had her on. Well, they auctioned off an opportunity to be a character in one of her next books.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
I like that.
So that was sold for $13,000. Bruce Duchessois donated, I don't know if that's how you say it, but it sounds pretty fancy, a once-in-a-lifetime trip for two to the Kentucky Derby. Guess how much that went for? Can you just make a guess?
$22,400.
Jennifer, you have a guess?
I'm going to say $15,500.
$67,500 for a once-in-a-lifetime.
Who the heck was in the audience?
I know. Hold on. It keeps going. Because during the live auction, guests also had the opportunity to bid on a trip for four to the Cat Cay Islands in the Bahamas on a privately owned 80-foot yacht, which was donated by David Topping. That sold for $55,000. Oh, yeah, my friends, you can just all hang out with us on the yacht that we will be driving around. It's just amazing. So I think they made, the whole thing made over $1 million for the United States Equestrian Team. How awesome is that?
Oh, David O'Connor must have been very, very happy.
Can you imagine how, he already kind of has like a higher voice and then squeaked all night long with that much money coming in. What a great idea.
Well, that is terrific. Well, I hadn't read about that. Well, Jennifer, just go ahead and Google that to find a link and post that on Facebook. What an amazing night. We got to go to that next year. That sounds like fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Put on your tuxedo and make sure that you're all dressed for it.
Yeah, and we'll bring our bank account to spend $50,000 on a painting. I'm sure we could do that. We could give away a guest spot on Horses in the Morning. $25.
You know what? We all let you co-host for 2 weeks while I'm in Spain.
There you go. Somebody pay for that. So I don't have to pay them. They'll pay for that opportunity to do that. I like that, Jamie. That's good. I'll split it with you, okay?
I love it. I love it, yeah. No, we'll donate it to the Horse Radio Network Foundation.
Yes. As soon as we create one. Hey, over the weekend, there was this racehorse trainer in Ireland, 73 years old, who finally had apparently he's kind of a down-and-out racehorse trainer, and he finally had a victory. One of his horses finally won a race. But that's not what Peter Casey is going to be remembered for. What he's going to be remembered for is the interview he did on live TV there in Ireland. When Peter Casey, and I cannot say this on the air, but I'll do the best I can. This is his quote, live on camera, when he said, "I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I'll sleep tonight. I'll have sex tonight and everything," declared Casey. And the is a four-letter word that starts with F. On live TV, it's one of those seven words that you're not supposed to say. So he makes the statement that he's going to have sex tonight and everything. And immediately, the staff of the TV station had to come out and apologize for his over-exuberant remarks and just, you know, apparently they had to just try and cover their butts. he will be remembered for his interesting statement. And now he's 73 years old, and he was there with I'm not sure if it was his wife or girlfriend, whatever. But I would have played it for everybody, but I didn't have time to beep it out.
What's really awesome about this is he's 73 years old and he's excited that he gets to go have sex. Like, that is his I won the race. I can't believe it. I get to do it. Yeah.
Well, maybe that was the deal. His wife said, "You're not getting any until you win a race." Maybe that was the deal.
That's probably what happened.
And it's been like 40 years.
Apparently, the person that was interviewing and presenting him with the award is the daughter of a legendary jockey, and Charles' quote was, I'm going to get into big trouble after that. And then the guy next to her was like, our apologies for a very excited trainer.
Yeah.
Apparently nobody was expecting that to come out of his mouth. I think it's fantastic. hey, man, go home and get it done. That's what I'm talking about. 73 years old, getting that done. Yeah, I love it.
Well, we have to mention, too, before we end the show today, and I know this is something that you wanted to talk about, and Chris, of course, is down in Wellington right now, the host of the Dressage Radio Show. But the World Dressage Masters was held over the weekend, and we just mentioned it here with Victoria a bit ago, but, boy, Stefan Peters came out and won the thing again with Ravel. What an unbelievable ride they had to break a record, right?
Yeah. In dressage, like when I ride dressage, I'm like, okay, in dressage scoring, I'm like, if I could just get a 60, that's a 6 on every movement, I will be more than happy. And eventing, I'm like, can I just break 40? Stefan Peters went and got a world record of 83.7 with Ravel. Amazing score. Now, the second place rider, Charlotte, was behind him by 0.05%. So she got an 80. Yeah, I can't even do that math.
Dujardin. Charlotte Dujardin.
Dujardin?
Do
you like to say that, Glenn?
Yeah. That's what I can say. So that's why I like to say it. It's the only name I don't screw up.
Well, apparently when Stefan watched Charlotte, please go.
Dujardin.
He walked over to her and said, oh, I think you have it. When the scores came up, he said, I felt like I was on a team in a major playoff, and I kicked the field goal with 1 second left. So even though he's a dressage rider, he still uses sports terminology. So I guess you can be a manly man and do the dressage and score a world record and beat Charlotte.
Dujardin.
Glenn. God, pay Dujardin. Attention, dude. By 0.05%, congratulations to Stefan Peters. My God, what an amazing ride. We should post the link to his ride up on our Facebook page because it will just give you flat goosebumps. You will just not believe it. It's amazing.
It is amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Well, we are going to be back again tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Keep in mind that Really Bad Ads will be back this week, and we have a very fun prize for you. And hopefully we're going to get the person on who's donating this prize tomorrow. We're going to try and get them on the show tomorrow. So as I said, get all of your ads in. Get them in soon to Jennifer@HorseRadioNetwork.com. Thank you to everybody that sent them in over the last 2 weeks. We've been on kind of a hiatus for Really Bad Ads, but it'll be back Friday at 10 a.m. on Friday's show. Always the most popular show of the week is Friday because of Really Bad Ads. So we're looking forward to some great ones this week. Get on Craigslist, get on Dream Horse, get on any place where there's ads posted about horses or farm stuff and take a look at those and send in the really bad ones. I saw one. I was checking out some ads in Florida, Jamie, and I saw this sad one. You know how – and I wouldn't even post this one on Really Bad Ads because it was so sad. They were trying to sell their Arab thoroughbred horse that would make an unbelievable event prospect. And then they had pictures on, you know how most people put pictures on there because they're very proud of how their horse looks? They had 4 pictures of the skinniest, saddest looking horse I've ever seen. And I just couldn't believe that they were actually posting them. I wanted to call the Humane Society right then and just report them through this ad. It was just sad. I don't know what to say about it. It was just sad.
Way to bring us down. Those are the ones that I see, and then I bring them home.
I know. Yeah. I didn't send it to you because I thought, you know, she'll make the trip. She'll drive all the way 3 days from Arizona to Florida. She'll pick up this horse. It'll be Chad. It'll be drug along. I'm not going to even tell her. I'm not even going to send it to her. So I didn't send it to her.
Yeah, don't send it to me. Speaking of our rescues, the new little guy, Joe Montana.
Yeah.
I have now sat on him. I bellied him on one day, which means I just kind of hopped up on his back and with my belly on the saddle, and he just kind of stood there, and Chad was holding him. And then my second day yesterday, I threw my leg over him, and he and I was by myself, and he stood completely still. I haven't asked him to move yet. I need a good, competent leader for that. But oh my gosh, he was like, he stood still. Of course, I use a peppermint to bribe everybody to stand still. Even all my horses stand still with a peppermint. So I used the peppermint, made him stand still, and I threw my leg over his back, and he did not buck. Yay!
Yay! That's great.
I'll take the ear shot today. When I hop on him, I'll take a picture of you between his ears for you. I'll post that on Facebook.
Cool. Yeah, that'll be a first. You have to have the first ear shot.
Absolutely. Well, you guys, thanks so much for listening and being part of today's show. Thanks to Bruce Springsteen for really, you know, helping out the United States equestrian team and all those people with a lot of money. Thanks to Patty and Dean for coming on today, obviously. Also, the HeyNet people and horseandcountry.tv and Victoria Spicer.
That's it, everybody. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow morning.
Bay, neuter, and yell, people.
There you go. I thought you missed.
Come on now. No, I don't forget. I already yelled at the horse and he didn't even tailgate.